you know, you've been put in makeup multiple times. How was it the first time that you were ever placed on makeup?
I hate it.
You hate it?
Yeah, I don't like to.
Because the way it feels.
It goes away. I mean, like, I feel like I'm going to stain the jacket or this. Yeah. Or I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. But the pictures come out a lot better.
Yeah. I might start to like it.
Yeah, yeah. Man, you're traveling all over the place. Like, I met you in Vegas for the Canelo fight. And we actually had met through Angela Magana.
Yep.
From UFC.
Yep.
Well, she's now pro boxing, but her story is crazy by itself.
Yep.
So, and everybody just thinks, like, that she's making commission because she just pushes so many people. But in reality, she is just like a true believer because of what it did for her.
See, I'm the same way.
She fell off a 4-story building. And she was like bedridden, career done, couldn't even get out of bed, was on heavy meds. She had to take heavy meds to fly to Texas. And then one of our partner doctors out there injected our stem cells into her. And she called me about, I want to say it was like 2 weeks later, there was a gala going on in Vegas. And she's like, you should come. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's human trafficking gala, like for sure. I would love to go support that. And she was just raging the whole time that we were out there. Like, you don't understand. I'm walking. I'm doing this. I didn't realize how bad her injury was. So when she started coming out and fighting, she's like, I'm going to fight again. She was adamant. I'm like, really?
I was there when she was, I mean, I didn't know about the stem cells. I didn't know about her past.
Yeah.
But she used to go to my shows with Gabriel, the fighter from La Perla.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would, please give me a fight. She kept, I want to fight. Please put me one of your cards.
Yeah.
But I didn't know her past.
Yeah. Yeah, she's crazy, man. Like, the way she's even training. I see her doing back bends, and then to know that she had like stenosis of the spine, and I mean, she had bulging disc. I mean, she had really bad sciatic pain, and so she was just raging, completely raging. Talking about Angela Magana, her story was amazing. So when she stopped UFC fighting, and then she went after this injury, and then her recovering, then she went into pro boxing. And I believe right now she's undefeated and she's training for her next fight. But I did fly out to Tampa for her first fight.
Yep. Yeah. I remember her first fight.
Yeah. She wore my brand on her, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. And then, so then after that, all of her fighters from Team La Perla, we became a sponsor. So that's how we ended up on that Canelo card with, I think the fighter was like fighting 2 fights before him or 1 fight before him.
I'll never forget that day.
Yeah. 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 That's awesome. I think it's awesome that you still show up to the fights.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love to go to the fights, you know, because I have a lot of friends in the industry. So yeah, there's always something to do.
Yeah. You're all over the place. Every time I see you on social media, I'm like, is he for sure coming down here? Because he's in Vegas, he's in Japan. It was like,
I had a trip to Japan actually this week. Mm-hmm. So I was going to come here yesterday because it was when I was coming back.
Right.
Last time I did the mistake of doing it the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And I made it through.
Yeah.
I made it through.
Yeah.
And I was able to explain people about the therapy, the stem cells, all my Japanese partners and friends.
Nice.
They're all listening to me, and I'm there limping and, you know, with like really bad, and I couldn't, and they were still listening to me. So I said, wait until you see me in 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had a convention in Punta Cana. They saw me flying.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, you look great. And even how you're walking is a lot better.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's only me can tell you, you know, it's
yeah,
it's
first
amazing.
Round, you came in, you got exosome. Not even stem cell, today's stem cell. But last time he came, it was exosome injections because the inflammation was so bad on your ankle that you couldn't get your foot to flex or anything, get into the joint. It's just like, it was so swollen.
Yeah, it was normally like that. I mean, and it was completely stiffed.
How long was it like that for?
5 years.
5 years with that inflammation.
Ever since I had the surgery.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I started moving my fingers and
your toes. You're moving your toes again.
Yeah, my toes. And
and that was just an exosome. some of the recent studies are showing that, so stem cells excrete out those exosomes that were injected into you. They're like, they thought it was the poop of the cell. So they were just like, oh, we don't want that stuff. But now they're realizing that those tiny packets that the stem cells are excreting, those exosomes, are what do cell-to-cell communication. So it's what's telling the body to go heal those areas. So we started doing isolation in the laboratory of those exosomes only, and that's what you got. And that's even like a byproduct of umbilical cord stem cells, and you got those amazing results. It's just miraculous. So now you can even imagine stem cells now. Like,
yeah, I'm looking forward.
Yeah. So the difference between those two is like exosomes don't keep populating. Like they don't keep growing and replicating. They're not a live cell. Stem cells will keep making those exosomes throughout a whole year. So it's like long-term healing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. And then, so talk to me a little bit about the fight. So like your last, this last week, you were traveling a lot, then you had the fight in Vegas.
Last night, Shakur Stevenson and De Los Santos fought Navarrete from Mexico against Olympic champion Robson Concepcion. That fight was a hell of a fight. Yeah. But the main event, it was really bad, really bad. They didn't throw punches. It was really, yeah, really, really bad fight. I haven't seen that in a lot of years that I've been in the business.
You know what? Something that I noticed is like, say you see a trainer, they're working with a fighter, and it's like they're teaching them how to throw these jabs to keep a really good jab. And then all of a sudden you see them fight, and it's like, where did their jab go? Is it just that their opponent is too fast for them that they can't keep the jab in? Or why do you randomly see some fighters just freeze up out there? And
yesterday they were like that the whole fight. I mean, you can see a couple of rounds of studying the opponent and let me see how you're going to come. And I think referee has a major part to do inside the ring, you know, because in the case of the jab, there's always a way of throwing it even to get distance.
Right.
You know, that's the best weapon. But last night, referees, you know, they weren't throwing punches. They were just fainting and move, you know, and they want to keep away from each other.
Yeah, they were keeping it safe.
Safe.
Wow. And how many fighters do you like have oversight over right now?
Around 20, I would say.
Nice. 20 fighters. Now, kind of going back for people that don't know like how you got into this industry, because I mean, you were super young. I see some of the pictures on your social media and you were like unrecognizably young. You're like a little kid when you got into this industry. How old were you?
I started with my father. My father was a promoter for 40 years.
Yeah, I seen that.
And then I started in the business ever since I was a little boy. Used to go to the fights with him. And then when I was around 13 years old, I started going in the corner with the buckets. This and back in those days, you could.
You're right.
Now you can't. But.
Right.
So I did, and then when I turned 16, I started doing many other things. I had a driver's license so I can drive people right to the airport and for the events.
Nice.
So I started right from the bottom and did almost everything except being an arena announcer and a boxer.
Yeah, I love it. Now, kind of jumping into, because I know some other people in the boxing world, there's a lot of boxing drama in the background.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm just a stem cell queen. I just treat you guys. We just get your injuries,
yeah,
you know, healed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, man, there's so much drama.
Too much.
I got to see a little bit of, like, some of the boxing politics when I went to Angela Magana's fight. And I was sitting right there, you know, front row. And there was a fighter that came from Mexico. He is like one of the baddest boxers that I have ever seen fight. He was like a little pit bull and he was so tiny compared to his opponent. Now the opponent was technically the corner that should have won. He was the local. He was like, you know, he was the one that was should have taken it. And they, I had talked to this guy who they put in to fight him and that came from Mexico. This guy just trains year round. So he was like, yeah, I'll take it. Took the fight like a week prior. And ended up kicking this guy's ass. And the whole, like, all the Latinos in Florida were like, yeah! Everyone was going crazy. And I remember the guys that were behind us were like, your fighter wasn't supposed to win. And I'm like, oh shit, what am I involved with right now? What am I seeing? I'm like, Angela, you sat me with the mobsters, man.
That happens.
Yeah. And I was like, dang, you know, you really realize the politics. And surprisingly, people get upset with me because I choose to work with certain athletes because of the politics going on in the background.
Yep.
And I don't do that. Like the whole JoJo Diaz, you know, like we've been his medical team for a bit now, and there was a lot of drama behind the fact of that. But what a lot of people don't know about that specific fighter is I used to work for the city of South Omani. My grandfather's been my vice mayor there. He's been on city council like my whole childhood since I was three. We were campaigning and doing all that stuff with him, kind of grew into it. And so I didn't even tell him I was applying for the city. And I just went and got the job with Parks and Rec. I was a lifeguard and then worked tutoring the kids. And I did that for 7 years, like all through high school. And he was training in the back, like little kid. And I remember I never got to meet him at the time when he was little, but I remember they would say, oh man, that JoJo Diaz, you know, and Ben Lura was back there with him, just like training him. And it was like, this kid we knew was gonna make it big. And so a lot of people don't know my history with JoJo Diaz in that sense, that people that were in the industry that just figured, oh, you know, these fighters, whatever. Like I really had a lot of support for him and understanding because I work with so many fighters amongst, you know, UFC or just even athletes. You know, you have the MLB, you have the NFL, you have, we did like two hockey players and then primarily like NBA. Primarily right now, NFL is mainly, but boxing, you know, we got approval through USADA with our research to be able to treat boxers, which is crazy because they're extremely strict.
Yep.
And so that was a huge accomplishment for us because the first time we submitted, they denied us. And then I said, no, send them all the research, you know, with the IND and all that stuff. So the doctor resubmitted it and we got approved. And so it's no longer, even though it's under the scope of research, it's no longer like frowned upon as experimental in the handbooks, like for athletes, like the NFL handbook, they changed that in there. So
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
you can only help the athletes. So,
yeah. And so for me, it was like a lot of people were upset that I was already pre-treating. And I don't ever talk bad or, you know, it's like patient privacy, right? So if clients come in, say you didn't get along with somebody else, I'm not going to be talking, and you know they're both my clients.
Yeah.
But there was so much drama and pushback when they found out that I was still helping him, and I'm like, you guys don't even know the background. Like, because we work with so many different athletes, I see that they're all going through it. I mean, people don't realize what these people put their bodies through. And how much they get paid and how they live paycheck to paycheck. You know, it's rare to get out of that. But I'm surprised that, like, outside they think, like, wow, the UFC pays these UFC fighters so well. And they don't. They're, like, all sleeping on people's couches. Their health's not the best. And so when we started doing the color-coded MRIs for research with these UFC fighters, obviously the damage was there and it was like, no, we can't do this because this is not going to be good for anybody. So we were like, yeah, we can't do this because they wanted me to submit a proposal to Dana to bring in stem cell into the UFC Institute. And when we seen the color coded of the MRIs, we're like, no, we can't bring this forward. So it would just show, because it shows when the trauma occurred. So pretty cool stuff. So what else is new? You have a grandbaby. I see that you always post your little grandbaby. Yeah. She's like watching the fights.
My granddaughter,
and stuff.
That changed my life. You know, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh,
it's
really, really, she's so cute.
I mean, I'm the happiest guy in the world now.
Oh, so. Being a grandpa.
Yeah.
It's different.
Had to wait a little bit, but it came.
Oh, that's so amazing. Yeah, she's so cute when you post the little pictures of her watching the boxing. I'm like, oh. How old is
that she? That was a great picture.
Yeah. How old is she right now?
She's a year and a half.
Wow. That's, my son is a year and a half right now, too. It's a cute age. Yeah.
No, it's the best.
It's the best. You don't, and that's my youngest, so I have five. A lot of people don't know that. I have five kids.
Oh, that's,
and they don't know why. Why
a
would
lot
you
of respect.
Want, why would you want that many kids, you know? But people don't know that I had cancer. I was terminal, stage four. I had a mastectomy, so I had breast cancer. And then I ended up getting it in my cervix. They wanted to do a full hysterectomy, so I wasn't going to be able to have kids. So it was like a miracle. So amazing. Now in the Institute, we do a lot of like detox programs in treating diseased patients. And I didn't do any chemo radiation when I treated. So now we implemented protocols, some research for treating cancer patients, and we're having amazing results.
That's great.
Yeah. So there's like a whole reason how I got behind this. Yeah. It wasn't just like a lot of people think like stem cells is like, this is it. Like stem cells is going to fix everything. But they don't realize that there's like so much other issues going on that they need a detox before they could even get stem cell results. Like stem cells are great for coming in to repair damaged tissues, organs, disease, dysfunctional, that part. But like, for instance, your body, like your liver, it controls over 250 different functions in the body. And so if your liver is clogged up and you're not truly doing a liver detox, then your blood flow's not the best. Like everything kind of just declines. Yeah. And so when we bring in these disease patients, we treat them for like all those things and we teach them. And so we treat them kind of the same protocols that like I went through, but now at a much higher level with much cooler toys. We have like some stuff that we flew in from Malaysia. There's only like 30 of those in the world. And then like we had our Ibu Tempass, which is German technology. Like this new stuff coming out that the athletes are using is like, people don't really understand it.
Yeah, it's something new comes up. It's
next level
amazing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And when did you start looking into like regenerative medicine?
Well, when I really met you, I mean, I didn't know nothing about it.
Really?
Yeah.
You had heard about stem cells, though.
Not tell you, be honest, I might have, but I never pay attention to it.
Right. And most people, if they do hear about it, they're like, I heard about that. What is it? They don't really understand.
Now I get that because now people are asking me the same thing, you know, everywhere I go, oh, yes. Do they work?
Yeah. No. And then some people just think like, oh, I got stem cell therapy and it's all the same, but it's not. You have so many different types of stem cells.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm a proof that it's not for sure.
We only use umbilical cord stem cells. So meaning healthy baby gets delivered right when they clamp the umbilical cord, they cut on top of that. So that blood has never hit the baby. And then we don't touch anything from the placenta, but they do hang it and then they take all the blood out. Then they'll send it to the laboratory. And at the same time, serology testing is going underway. And then they'll put it on cooling plates because whether it's diseased or not, they have to process it in a certain amount of time. So laboratory is in Clearwater, Florida. It's with Cord for Life, and Cord for Life's been around for 25 years. Cord collecting, they're in good terms with the FDA. You know, FDA's often in and out of there. And there's very few of those laboratories that are being compliant that are under IND. So the rest of them that are illegally operating, people are like, how are they doing it? How are they doing it? It's like, if they're not doing it under the scope of research, then they're not doing it correctly.
No, I get a lot of those questions, same questions that you just said.
Yeah.
Now I guess I can answer them with the podcast so they can listen to you.
Yeah, listen to it.
Because I'm not an expert.
Because there's
know?
So many different types. And they have, so that's from the cord. It's like raw umbilical cord. We just take out the RNA, DNA. So you're not getting anybody's ABO blood type or their genetic factors changing, or that would be like considered CRISPR-Cas9 technology is what they call it, which this guy from NASA discovered, and that's gene editing technology. We'll be getting into that in the near future with stem cells. But We remove that currently because we don't want to change anybody's eye color or do any of that other stuff, you know, or change their blood type, which I've seen with cord blood that it can do that. There was a research study out of China that they gave somebody raw cord blood without taking out that ABO blood type, and it actually changed the patient from B positive to O negative. And I've never seen a case like that. I was like, what? You could change somebody's blood type? That's crazy. Aside from stem cells, have you ever done anything else for regenerative? Like anti-aging?
No, no, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Most people haven't. It's like...
Nothing. I just had Kenalog injected to me by the doctor.
It's like for scar tissue.
Yeah, Dr. Christopher Hoskin from Miami, he was the one who did the surgery on me, and 3 times I had a shot. And out of the 3 times, only 1 worked for a little bit.
You know why? Because as soon as you put any type of metal in the body knows that it's foreign. It's kind of like a breast implant. It creates like a layer around it. And then also, too, you're dealing with scar tissue. So anytime they put a replacement in or screws, there's stiffness left. It's just stiff. It doesn't ever move the same.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
I've been stiff for... ever since I had the surgery 5 years ago.
Yeah, and you felt post-exosome injections the first time, you felt relief, like it was sore for how long? Like, tell everybody like how the process went.
No, it's everything you told me happened.
Yeah.
Just as you told me it was going to happen.
I said it's going to swell up.
It's going to swell up. First night, a lot of pain.
Yeah.
A lot of pain. So if you're going to do it, you got to know... Well, no painkillers. You told me that. Yeah. I haven't gotten a painkiller ever since that day, or not even Tylenol. Nothing.
A lot of people don't know why we say that. And we say that because you cannot have the neural receptor shut off for pain because it's sending that inflammatory signal to go heal there. So that's how the exosomes are, or whatever you're giving the body, nowhere to go, is because the brain is sending that signal. And so if you shut the signal off, then you're shutting off the healing. That's why.
Yeah, I follow your rules. I don't follow much people's rules.
And the thing is,
I hope my wife doesn't watches the podcast.
She's like, who is this girl?
No, I'm following your rules.
I got enough of girls on my ass. Okay, I don't need another one. I swear, I run. It's like even in professional settings, I'm like, I show up to like an event or something, and it's like I sit down with my business partners and their wives are there, and I'm like, oh no, I'm like trying to cover up, like I don't want to look at nobody, piss nobody off, because it's just like something you have to deal with all the time.
Yeah. No, but I meant about the you giving me orders.
She giving
me orders, and maybe sometimes I don't follow her.
Yeah, that's, I know.
I'm probably going to get in trouble, but that's okay. It's worth it because I feel good.
Why are you following the stem cell queen's orders and not mine?
Because it feels good, you know?
It's like, it's stem cells, that's why. Yeah.
So everything you told me, like I was saying, happened. First day, a lot of pain. I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't believe it when I got up from bed to go to the airport. I was leaving to Japan the following day. And I couldn't believe it. I said, oh my God, how am I going to make it to the restroom and take a shower and get my bag? I made it. It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard, like you told me, for 4 or 5 days. You told me maybe a week.
Mm-hmm.
You told me weekish, which means could be more than a week. But after 4 days, I kept walking. I never stopped. I mean, I walked the necessary in order to be able to do my job. But and I was limping really bad. But I made it through with a lot of, like you told me, a lot of ice, elevation. And it worked. I did so much that it worked before the weekage. It did it in 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I was starting to feel better. And then you told me... to see results, it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks. So since I did everything you told me, I started feeling better a little bit before the 4th week.
Yeah.
And it was amazing the way I was feeling. You know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And by week 6, I was flying. I mean, when I mean flying, I can't run and I can't walk fast like I used to. I mean, I used to be all over the place. And I was almost my own self. I can tell you almost meaning 90%, 85, 90% of what I was before the surgery.
Yeah.
I was in Punta Cana for a convention, WBO, working for 5 days. And it's a resort where you have to walk like crazy. You know, they got little trains, but they get there every hour. You know, yeah. If you wait for the train, you never make it. So somebody picked up my phone on the fourth day because they saw me running all over the place. Like, they couldn't believe it. And a friend of mine grabbed the phone and said, "Let me see your steps." I said, "Open it up. Go ahead." I did 11,000 steps for 5 days in a row. 20 minutes of icing daily only.
That was in Japan?
That was in Punta Cana for the WBO company. That was after I got back from Japan, you know, and everything was good. Like you said, everything you told me was going to happen, happened.
Yeah.
And then I'm in Punta Cana. This could be, I told you, 4 weeks. It wasn't even the 6 week. It was 4 weeks. Yeah. Because I came here middle of September, I think the 12th maybe. I don't remember exact date, and we're talking about October 9th, the convention started for 5 days. So it's not even a month.
Yeah,
it's not even less than 4 weeks.
Healing happens like in miraculous time speed, but we never want to, because every person is different, right? Their body reacts different. And so we never want to give like a, oh, it should happen by this time. So we always say a couple weeks more is average. And we know that if it doesn't fix something, that there's something else wrong, because we don't take cases that we can't get results in.
So I was amazed with myself. I had a great convention. I hadn't had a convention like that in 5 years.
Wow.
You know, before the surgery.
Yeah, you're looking great. You actually look like you lost a little bit of weight.
That's another one of the benefits. I started taking care of myself, you know, trying to eat as we're supposed to. I know a lot about how you're supposed to eat because I've been boxing all my life. So I know a little bit of everything.
Are you like one of those hardcore people because you know how a fighter's supposed to eat? Do you go through these random like spells of like, I'm not eating any carbs, I'm not?
That's what I did now for the first time in my life, because I've done other diets. I'm always been big, you know? So I did that, the fighter's diet, before, like the old time, you know,
which is easy. Did that include rice or no rice?
No. My saying is, you know, the best diet is you eat everything you don't like and you stop eating what you like. And that's it. You know, what people don't like, veggies, salads, chicken, fish, you know.
Yeah.
So what do you like? Rice and beans, like us Latinos, you know, and tacos and this and pizza and whatever. So. It was kind of
Mexican diet is the best.
I started taking care of myself 1 month before coming for this first session.
Nice.
Which was 3 months ago.
Nice.
So
because you knew, because we were already planning on doing this for like a couple months.
Correct.
Yeah.
And for me, I lost in 3 months 30 pounds, and that's like a backpack of 30 pounds that was on my leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, that helps too. You know,
I didn't really notice it until I seen you today when you came. I was like, whoa, because you just look so much, you know, when you lose weight, you get slender, more slender, taller. So I was like, whoa, I don't remember you being this tall.
I was wider, you know.
Yeah, I also lost a lot of weight too.
Yeah,
I've been cycling 10 to 12 miles like every day, every other day.
Oh, that's that's very, very, very good. I can't do that.
I've been getting buffed out.
You know, and this time I did it without, not because I used to walk 1 hour, but with my leg, you know, I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
So this time, zero exercise. I just.
You needed to heal.
Yeah, and it's, and I, you know what? That's one of the things, because now you're asking me questions. I said, could I ask questions myself?
Yeah, of course.
That's one of the things I was going to ask you, because I know I'm doing the right thing, but I think stem cells had to be at some point a help. I don't know if it's the helps of metabolism, what it is, but that was a big help too. I mean, it wasn't only this. It was, you know.
So it lengthens the telomeres, which is your anti-aging. Okay. And so it lengthens it. It gives you some years back when you do it by IV. I believe we did some exosomes by IV on you. And so,
yeah, we did.
Yeah. So they go past the brain barrier and they'll actually send correct signals. Maybe if there's been a prolonged issue, maybe with your ankle and the brain is sending an inflammatory signal for a long period of time, the brain kind of just says like, they're not dealing with this, so let's just shut off this signal. And then the inflammation isn't as bad. But then when you go to do stem cells, if you just inject that direct site, you're not going to get the same results versus going in by IV as well and getting the brain to reconnect those signals. We had a guy like on the more severe side of it. He's a active duty army that they sent down. And this was a charitable trust foundation, I believe, that did it. They'll often pay for stem cell therapy for army soldiers. Or special, I guess you should say special forces, because it's not just all army, but a lot of the special forces, the ones that I work with. But anyways, he was jumping out with his parachute, and when he jumped out, his arm got severed in the wires, and it hit him against the plane, and somehow he made it to the floor, but his arm was severed. And so all the major nerves were just severed. And so Walter Reed reattached the arm and his arm was kind of just there. He had zero movement. They didn't know for about like a year and a half now. It's about a year and a half, 2 years. That they're debating whether or not to amputate it. Now, this is a Green Beret. Okay. So Green Berets are like very stubborn, like, you know, especially when it comes to injuries. Like if their leg is amputated, they want a prosthetic so they could still keep running all the miles that they were running a day. Like they're like, okay, whatever, just chop the arm off. Like they're crazy, you know. My cousin
lost a couple of his two legs, mm-hmm. and he got the prosthesis and many, many years ago I donated to him a race bike, wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Tennis wheelchair and another one where he can play basketball.
Nice.
Do sports, three different sports. And he never stops until today. He's still over. And that's what you got to have in life. You know, you have to go keep on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this specific case with his arm being severed, they were like, you know what, let's give it a try. Let's send him down there. Surgeon went under ultrasound and injected the stem cells, the umbilical cord, blood stem cells in his clavicle, into his brachial nerve. And so, you know, he said that he started being able to shrug it, but then they went back in and did surgery and like re-severed everything. And he lost that whole function from his pectoral up to his shoulders. He couldn't shrug it anymore. And then I said, you know, I really think that we should do this by IV instead of, you know, going in back into the brachial nerve. And I feel like the brain needs that in order to resend those signals, healing signals. And so he did that. And then I got a message like about a month ago from him randomly saying, hey, I came to my appointment for the surgeon to take a look if we were going to move forward with the amputation. And he said that the whole major nerves all grew back. And so he's like moving. He's like, we got to do another round. So I think Rock the Green Beret just had a big fundraiser. And so they typically fundraise. They'll fundraise like for major things, anywhere between 100 and 200K for major injuries. And then they pay for them to get it done, which is really cool. The best thing we can do for our special forces. My God,
oh, definitely. These guys are the least we can do.
The badasses of the world.
Yep.
They're just, I love working with them.
Yeah, defending. That's why we're here.
And I'm Air Force, like prior Air Force. And it's like, it's so different with these guys. Like it's night and day different. I've worked with some Navy, but I like working with the Army guys for some reason. Yeah,
it gives you a lot of pleasure, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. My dad is a Marine, so I kind of grew up with that. And when he found out, when I told him I was going for security forces to the Air Force, he was so mad at me. He was like, no, you're my daughter, my baby, no. And I was like, I want to be just like you.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I grew up with my brothers. So
my son-in-law was also in the military, and his father and his whole family. I think, I don't know, comparing the history of my son-in-law and yours, I guess the family starts, like, everybody to want to do it. So that's also good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I am so thankful that you've came on here. We're going to get your second stem cell therapy done today. And I know you're super excited. And then what do you have planned after this? Because you fly out late tonight, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going back home. This time I'm going with my experience last time.
Yeah.
This time I'm going home to rest.
Nice.
Going home rest. And then my first Thanksgiving with my family back at home in Miami.
Nice. Thanksgiving.
Every year we have been either traveling or at my daughter's house. Or this, but
home is Miami?
Home is Miami.
Oh, nice. We're big Miami Dolphin fans.
Yeah.
Are you a Dolphin fan?
Sometimes you get disappointed. You're because, like, I'm not like a real fan.
I know.
When they start winning, you get in the bandwagon.
You know, it's so funny because I grew up Dolphin fan. We used to travel to stay wherever they were staying. And we would get I have autographed pictures of me and the players before their games. And when I got married, I became a Green Bay Packer fan. It was like Green Bay Packer shareholder. So I was like, how am I going to not do this? So my family gave me so much shit for so long. And every now and then I would throw a Miami Dolphin beanie on and they'd be like, take that shit off, all my brothers. You're not a real fan. And I'm like, dude, you guys can't take that from me. I'm forever going to be a Dolphin fan, you guys.
You know, I'm talking about that. I mean, I was a general manager of the NFL Europe, Barcelona Dragons,
for 2 years. I didn't know that.
I was actually the first Hispanic that was a GM for an NFL team. This was NFL Europe, but not even...
That's soccer, right?
NFL.
Oh,
NFL,
really?
American football, yeah. They had
when you say football, I was thinking soccer.
No, my English is not very good looking. But it's NFL. It
you
was
know
the Barcelona Dragons.
It's better than my Spanish. Porque si yo estoy hablando en español, yo hablo como un gringa. But I can get it across.
Maybe we can cross each other.
It's so funny.
You teach me
something. You know, when I was young, all I knew was Spanish. That was my first language. And then when I went to school, I didn't want to talk no Spanish. I wanted to learn English. So I would talk to my grandmother in English. She would talk back to me in Spanish. And it stood like that till today.
To me, it was the opposite.
Really?
I talked English in school. And then I started, when I turned 17, I left the English behind and just grabbed the Spanish. And because my wife is from Colombia and I got married very young. She didn't know English.
And those Colombians can party.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Colombia and they just don't give a shit. Start partying all night. And it's not regular partying, with just music. Dude, they bring out the drums.
Oh, yeah.
Full on. I'm like, is that a circus coming through here at 2 a.m.? I was like, oh, man. And they'll do it till 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
My best friend was Colombian,
Believe me, I've been doing it for 37 years. My first time in Colombia was 1986 because my father had a boxer. I was working with my father, but it was his.
Yeah.
Miguel Japilora, he was a world champion from Monteria, Colombia, WBC bantamweight.
Nice.
So I made it there when he won the title. I was 16, 17 years old.
Wow.
And then...
This is your whole world. This is everything. You know everybody in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so beautiful because the WBO did us an article on their magazine for the convention with the three generations, because in boxing, there's no three generation promotional companies. And they did a nice article with my father's picture, and then it says father, then my picture son.
Oh.
Then my son's picture, grandson.
I love it.
So it's really motivating.
And your son, is he getting into this too?
Oh, yeah, since he was a kid. He's 27.
And he's been 27. He grew up in it.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And he runs the daily operations in my company. And I'm very proud. Now everything I do daily is for him.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. We live for our kids.
And then, you know, I did enough in my life. You know, it's not that I'm tired because I love my sport. I love my job. But sometimes, you know, as you grow older, you know, you want to thank God that I have my son, that he can take over all. Because when my father suffered a massive stroke, And he was a promoter for 40 years. And he was bedridden in 2001. And I was the general manager, like I said, in Barcelona for the NFL. Had a great job. I had a contract with the NFL with a great future. But I decided to come back home. I resigned. And I came to take care of my father, who was ill, and my mother. And I did that until they both passed away. Mm. My dad was bedridden for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And my mother was sick, and she passed away, like my dad said, 2 years ago, and she's 7 years ago. But anyways, I came back and I said, my dad did this for 40 years, and I'm just going to shut this down and go back to make money in Barcelona.
Yeah.
No, most important first is to take care of him.
Aww.
Nobody can pay you money to do that. And yeah. I wish I could met you back then, because I would have helped my father a lot with this process. But
so many people that we've seen in their deathbed, like, it's crazy. It's like you get these calls and you're like, they just don't open their eyes anymore. And we're like, well, we can see what we can do, you know, and we've gotten people back up walking around.
I'm sure, amigos. With me, it did miracles. And I'm thinking it's just the beginning. After today, I was able to recuperate the range of motion.
Yeah.
I was moving my toes for the first time in 5 years.
Most of the boxers don't know about this. Like, I mean, they got their gashes that are still reopening back up, scar tissue, TBI, too many hits to the head.
This is amazing. I mean, even the skin, you know, you even got less wrinkles. I mean, my brain.
Yeah.
I'm probably more successful in my business now, because I got more active. My brain is...
I hear people say that it makes them feel like 10 to 15 years younger. Usually people will say that like 40s and up. They'll say like, oh my God, it's just amazing. Even my 16-year-old, it fixed her lazy eye. And she'll tell me like every 6-7 months, like, hey, mom, I think it's time for me to get more stem cells. I'm like, that's crazy that my kid's saying that, you know. But like the results that we've seen, I'm like, man, like anybody that considers, say you have a fighter, extreme asset of yours, you want to keep them in tip-top shape, this should be the tool that is used, stem cells, period. It's a natural biologic. It's not an enhancer.
You know, I have a very, very good friend of mine, Walter Alvarez, his son, Eddie. He's been an athlete since he was a kid. They call him the Blade. You know, he used to run skates. He always had injuries because of the sports. Of the skating, he won 2 Olympic medals in skating.
And, oh, wow, he's like a legit skater.
Yeah, and that was 2016 Olympics. But he's also a baseball player. So he went and played baseball after 2016. He went back to baseball, made the U.S. team, and won gold in Tokyo with the baseball team.
Wow.
And he also signed with the Chicago White Sox, Major League Baseball, and right now he's with the Marlins organization. He's been doing stem cells for every injury. And right now I saw him in my last press conference in Miami in August, and he had another injury. He had a cast on a boot, and I said, "What happened?" And I go, "No, I broke my leg or whatever." And he's fixing it with stem cells.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, you know, for me, I'm a person that nothing can help me. I mean, I can do a surgery and I can be a little better, but
I remember you saying that.
It's going to be stiff for the rest of my life.
You were like, it's going to be like this forever. Just do what you can. You thought.
So I said, you know, this helps because it's not something that like, oh, it's my finger that hurts or something. I have a real, real bad injury. I have screws, plates in there. I mean, it was really broken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the range of motion, my fingers, I couldn't feel it when I touched myself. I didn't even want to touch my, I haven't touched my, I mean, when I take a shower and stuff, but I don't want to touch it because.
Yeah. You don't want to rub it.
I don't want to rub it. I don't want to touch it. And I was in Nicaragua and we did a world title fight. And I got there the week before, now in October, after Punta Cana, October 20, I went to Managua for a world title fight on ESPN. And I got there a week before. So I got there on Sunday, and you know, there were no boxers there yet. So let me take a swim in the pool. and I took a swim in the pool, and I started feeling the water and the feeling inside, and I started touching my foot, and I couldn't believe it. I said, I can feel it like before.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's amazing. I'm not going to tell you that it was 100%. You know, I still feel a little bit here and there. You got a good day. You put ice a little bit.
But we haven't even fully stem celled it up. I mean, we did exosomes and now stem cells. So, I think that was a good idea that we did that.
Like I told my friends in Japan, because my godfather is from Japan and I work with Taking Promotions, which is a Japanese company. Mm-hmm. And they're like family. They're my Japanese family. I was with half of them at the fights. And they saw me in Japan in September, limping all over the place. They saw me in Punta Cana flying. They saw me in Vegas yesterday, walking fast all over the place.
And they're like, what the heck are you doing?
And they know I'm here today. So I said, I'm leaving to Japan December 22nd for Naoya Inoue's fight. He's one of the best boxers, pound per pound. He's a star.
Nice.
And he fights December 26th. So I'm leaving on the 22nd, which is almost a month.
You're going to be gone for Christmas.
Yeah, I'll be back on the 27th.
This is your life. Like you're traveling every single week. You're flying all over the place.
I've been in Christmas in Japan a lot. Sometimes I brought my family once, but
it's my favorite place in the world that I've ever visited. I love the food. I love the people. The people are the nicest. Nothing like us Americans.
It's incredible. It's my favorite. Tokyo is my favorite city in the world. No doubt about it.
Working late in the towers, like. Till 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning. And there's just a culture that, like, everything works. You don't ever see a part of the city that's like...
I like the respect.
Yeah.
You know, they first think about the person coming behind them than them.
They do. Actually, when I went to the airport, I couldn't read anything or understand anything. And just a regular Japanese person came up to me and said, let me help you, and put my ticket in and did everything for me.
They want to help everybody.
When it was raining, they were running to bring us umbrellas, and it's like, they're just so nice.
So I told them, I'm going back December 22nd. Nice. Today's the 16th, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You watch me, I'm going to be running in a marathon when I get to Tokyo.
I love it. I love seeing when injuries are like, they're healing. And then a lot of the athletes will say, you know what, I'm going to go back to fighting. I'm going to do this. That's like exactly like JoJo was like, do you think I can get my belt back? I'm like, hell yeah.
Of course, especially him.
Yes, I'm like,
he's a warrior.
Let's just
get
you in the best shape. He's fighting a... Right now, I think he's doing the best that I've ever seen him do fight-wise.
Imagine if he used to fight good. He used to kill anybody in the ring. You know, he's a warrior and without any help, probably not having discipline, right discipline.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's not in fight camp. He's doing that stuff on his own.
He's the kind of guy that I like because he's like the old-time fighters, that he doesn't say no to a fight. He fight anybody. Like Vaquero Navarrete, who fought last night, I love him because he doesn't complain. He doesn't talk with who? This guy, let's go. Tomorrow, let's go.
Exactly.
Two, three weeks, we have another fight. Let's go.
You want to hear something funny? Angela Magana calls me up randomly. Like, I want to say it was a couple months ago. And she says, Raquel, the UFC is looking for candidates for the UFC slap fight.
I have to thank Angela.
I'm crazy. So I said, she goes, do you want to be in it? And I said, fuck yeah, take me there. I'm like, I'll do that shit.
I wouldn't do that with my wife.
she said, no, dude, serious. Are you serious? Because I could tell him, like, yeah, you could do this. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And I tell my brother, and my brother's like, dude, have you seen how big these girls are and how they slap? And I said, no, it can't be that. I'll take a slap for
think you can punch. You just got to be the first one to hit.
Yeah. And then he shows me, and this girl just slaps the shit. It wasn't even a slap. It was like a straight muscle just
I've
boom.
Seen it.
And
I've
then
seen it.
Her whole head just jolts. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, Angela, I'm not doing this.
I gotta thank Angela
for amazing.
Introducing us because
she's
I
so
never
funny.
Forget that night.
She comes out and she's like random. She'll be like, hey dude, meet me up in Vegas, this fight. And I'm like last minute flying out there like that day, fine, I'm gonna purchase the ticket, just jump on the flight and go down there. And I'm like, Angela, what's up? You know, it's like random. And then all of a sudden, I won't talk to her for like 4 months because she goes off the grid and she does that quite often. And then when she's like, oh, I'm back, bitches, I'm like, oh, man. She's so controversial where she just loves getting everybody like so riled up.
I'm a true believer that things happen for a reason. Yeah. And I believe that very much in my life. It wasn't a coincidence. It's something that
was a fun night that night.
And it meant to happen. That meant to happen. I was with Paco Valcarce, the president of WBO, that night, I remember. And it was a night that I never forget. But you told me I can help you. And I didn't believe it. I'm not going to lie to you. I liked you. I love Angela. I Gabriel, everybody from La Perla, all my friends. But I said, and I'm scared of myself. I mean, I don't like to take blood out. I mean, I do it, but I don't love it.
Right.
So it took me a year and a half, you know it, to come here.
Yeah, to say, okay,
I felt so
it.
Bad texting you so many times. and almost for this one, I was about to quit.
You're so funny.
But, you know, I'll recommend it to anyone because it's a little bit of pain. But at the end of the day, the results, it's really worth every bit of the little pain that you have to go through it.
Yeah. I have some athletes that do repeat stem cells. They kind of jump around to see who could sponsor them. Like they'll go to BioAccelerator or Panama and then they'll come to me or whatever. And it's like whoever is giving them free product, right? And so there's no hate in the game, you know? It's like, go get as many free stem cells as you can get. Mm-hmm. But what I love is, like, by the time they come to me, they're like, oh, this is way different. Like, Brian Cage he's a pro wrestler, actually just fought right here in Ontario this past week. That's where I was at. And he got, like, everything injected, like, all his joints. Everything. And he was like, oh, it never felt like this. And it was never in this much pain. He actually ended up reaching out to Angela Magana because he was so afraid. And it was like, I'm not used to seeing inflammation like this. And it's like, because this is the real stuff. This is not the stuff that you can get in Mexico. This is not the stuff that they're doing in Panama where they pull out your own blood. And we're not expanding. We're not growing it in a bioreactor. There's many different types of stem cells. And so what we use is like very safe.
That's why you have to come to the right people. You know, you can't just do it anywhere.
And everybody says, oh, I could get cheap stem cells over there. I'm like, probably it's not pig, about,
it's not,
stem
it's not
cells.
About, yeah, it's not about being cheap. It's about getting what you need to get. And, you know, that's the only way it's going to work.
Well, not only that, but people don't know enough about it to stay safe and make an informed decision about, like, if somebody says, hey, I have stem cells, this is the best stem cells. But, like, what is to say that's the best stem cells? You have to be able to ask, is this under IND? Has this, is it registered with the FDA? Is it a real research part? If you're in phase two already, then you've already showed that it's, you know, it works. It's bringing a quality of life. And so that's like important because if there's so many companies that are out there right now that people would not believe, it's just like an unregulated until they catch them type of thing.
Yep.
And I've had doctors, because I supply a lot of doctors, go around me and just get cheaper product. And then they'll call me back crying saying, oh my God, I just sent 6 patients to the hospital. And I'm like, you did what? Because they got an expended cell and they're much bigger than the regular cord blood. And so that's supposed to be orthopedic product, but nobody's teaching correct protocol, so they're injecting it by IV and then the body's just going into like a shock. And or there's laboratories that are not true cGMP manufacturing, and then they'll give like patients E. coli. It's like it's crazy the stuff I've seen in this industry, and I'm like, man, who's regulating this stuff?
Yeah, that's why you have to come to the right place.
Yeah,
you know, and do research and whatever you want. You know, everybody can, but
I think most people go by, in this industry for the most part, people want to know, who did you use? Did you get results? I'm going where you went. You know what I'm saying? So like in the boxing world, everybody's been referred to me. It's not like people just hear about me. It's like always referral.
Definitely. Yeah. And I've been talking a lot about it.
Thank you.
Again, I love you. I like you a lot, but it's not because of you.
Yeah.
It's not because of business. It's because it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's, And I tell everybody, you know, they're not paying me to tell you this.
That's,
man,
like Angela. Angela, you
know,
looks like,
I don't know. Like, I mean, if they would pay me to say it, I won't do it. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm a guy that couldn't be helped.
Yeah.
And it worked. You know, I mean, and this is important for people to know, because my doctor, Christopher Hoskins, who did my surgery, my only solution is another surgery, which I'm going to be stiff for the rest of my life. They're going to put a thing there where I can't move. Might not get more inflammation, but I can't. You know, I'm not going to be able to move my toes or anything like that. So I consulted my regular doctor, which is my uncle. I consulted.
Your uncle's your doctor?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's 70 now. He's my father's younger brother.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And he's like my father, since my father passed away, and he's my doctor, and he's a great doctor. He used to play.
Just call him Uncle Doctor.
Uncle Armando. And he used to play Olympic volleyball. He was in sports, so he knows sports medicine. He knows general. He's a very, very good intelligent doctor.
Oh, nice.
And I asked both of them, I'm going to do this. And they told me to go ahead. Do you know what I mean? That then doctors don't recommend it. They don't, let's say, off the record or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But they didn't say, yeah, go do it. But they didn't tell me, don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what I meant they say to go do it, it didn't say, no, yeah, go ahead.
My dad had heart failure. He got diagnosed, like, I want to say a good almost 8-10 years ago. And I went with him to Kaiser and told the doctor, like, we want to do stem cells. This is before I was in this industry. And this is only when Panama was around and it was really big. And so he's like, well, I can't tell you not to do it, but, you know, I guess go ahead. And then at the time, I was managing a law firm. And so I was managing hospital debt and stuff. And then I had found out through one of the surgery center owners that they had a connection to a cord blood bank that wanted to do stem cell manufacturing. And I was like, oh my God, I'd give up everything to just own a biotech. And everybody thought I was crazy. They're like, you don't know how to run a biotech. And I said, I don't, but the scientists will that I'm going to hire.
Definitely.
And so, like, I just learned everything. It was like, I was just soaking everything up. I learned what the scientists knew. I learned the protocols. Then I ended up, you know, dropping protocols down into, like, neurosurgeons, spine surgeons. Before you knew it, I was in all these different surgeries learning so much.
You did a great job. You did a hell of a job.
Thank you.
You know everything.
I don't know everything, but well, I know.
I mean, everything.
In my field.
For me, it's everything because I know nothing.
Yeah. You know what? It's just a new way of thinking. Functional medicine is completely different. Like, we have patients who come in and they say, I have this indication, I have this and this and this and this. This is what I've been diagnosed with. But in functional medicine, we don't go off of those indications. We go off of, like, the whole pull analogy, right? Like, dirty pool, pH gets low, fungus grows, and it grows everywhere in the pool. How do you clean the pool? You shock it and filter it out. Same thing with the body. So we treat it the same exact way. And so we have the pH, you know, cell power is what it's called on Amazon, but they have the pH balancing drops, and those balancing drops will keep you at 7.35, so you can't grow arthritis, fungus. It's all fungus, cancer, and arthritis, Alzheimer's, all looks the same underneath the microscope as far as, like, it being fungus. And so when we started treating that, of course, a lot of doctors were like, man, we need to implement in functional medicine. So now I'm getting ready to be part of a panel on functional medicine so we can start certifying doctors. I'll be certifying doctors for functional medicine. It's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Everyone's like, how did you do it? I'm like, I can't even walk you backwards because it's just been so crazy of a ride of, like, you know, me having to learn this stuff. And I was so freaking out because my partners, they knew everybody down in, like, Sherman Oaks and Beverly Hills and all the celebrity doctors. So when I got into it, they had already introduced me. I was already sitting down with, like, the heads of hospitals, CEOs of hospitals. And I was like, oh my God, do I know what I'm doing? And my partner's like, you're great. You know what you're doing. And he's like, I'm taking off to Israel. They're all Jewish too. And I was like the only non-Jewish person in that group. So I got accepted in by them. They would invite me to Shabbat. And I'm like, but I'm not Jewish. No. Like, it's fine. But yeah, and then a lot of people don't know on the bottom of the stem cell box, there's a Bible verse. So all my Jewish doctors are like, I love these stem cells.
I have a lot of Jewish friends too.
Yeah, yeah, they're awesome. You know, the funny thing is, like when we all broke out into a tiff, right? Because I was like, I don't want you guys as my partners and all this other stuff. And I was like branching off to do my own thing. They thought it was crazy that I wanted to open up a biotech. They wanted to just do therapeutic. And I was like, nope, I want to supply and support other doctors because otherwise you're in competition with everybody. Yeah. I want to support everybody and then
definitely
spread the research wide.
That's the only way to to be successful, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
so
I mean,
that's every, what we did.
Working together works. That's a phrase that Don King teach me a long time ago. He said, working together works. Working yeah. together works.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was not a guy that used to like to work together.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But
It's hard to work together with the team and people. I know,
but it's that's the only way that everybody can go up.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're here, have a restaurant, and you have one, you open up one across the street. What are we Hispanics do? Start fighting each other. Oh, look at that guy. He wants to take my business.
Yeah.
There's other cultures where they help each other, and then another restaurant comes and they help the guy, and everybody sells.
Yeah,
and yeah. That's the way it works. I'm a true believer of that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that's not well. You're also traveling like overseas and seeing other customs.
Yep.
And that's part of it. Is like you go to Japan and you see that everybody's helping each other, and you even just in other countries you get to see how different colonies are working.
Yep, like, and it's some of the local experience. Tribes.
They're very humble. And so when you come back, you're almost like irritated because everybody's like honking at each other in a rush.
Definitely.
Like, God, the light just turned green, buddy.
I'm trying to...
Road rage.
I'm trying just to take it easy with everything I do in my life now. You know, if the guy gets crazy, it's just him. It's not going to be two of us.
Yeah.
I learn a lot that by going to Japan and seeing all the costumes and the culture. You know, relax. I mean, if you want to get to a place early, leave early.
Yeah, that's true.
Like me, you know how bad I felt when I arrived 15 minutes late today? I know it wasn't an appointment.
Oh, my God.
I'm in Japanese time. You know, I cannot be late. I had a couple of conference calls. I didn't look at the watch. Yeah. I said, oh, you know, I got to run, but I had to let you know.
Oh, no, you were totally okay.
I felt really bad, you know, if you say a time, it's got to be the time.
I love that, though, and it should be like that. I've gotten a lot better in time because when you're self-employed, it's been like 16 years. It's like you're on your own time, and then you got to prioritize. So I'm always pushing things late, And I had to kind of be forgiving of that because my schedule just kind of rolls over. It just keeps growing and getting bigger, and it's like you can't really deal with it. And I'm sure your schedule is like very like you could fill every day somewhere.
Definitely, and you know it's hard to do, but
people don't realize that part of stem cells, the regenerative part. Like both of my parents have been stem celled up, and they're like adamant. They want like 6 to 8 months. Like if they go past a year, they're like, oh my God, you haven't given me my stem cells. It's been a year. I'm like, you know, the average person doesn't get stem cells, right? But they love the way they feel. My mom went, she had spinal surgery, and she was like, I was begging her not to do it. She did it anyways. And she can walk. She was with a walker crying, my life's over. And I'm like, now I have to go stem cell her up. So I did. And so when she was given the stem cells, she, within a couple of months, started kickboxing next door at the gym. And me and my brother were laughing because we're like, you're not going to go do the boot camp. And she's like, I'm going to do the boot camp. I'm going to go kick ass. And we're like, Mom, you're like 60s.
That's lovely.
In her mid-60s, you know, and it's like,
that's my kind of people. She can do it.
And sure enough, she'd come back and she's like, look at my arms. They're all buff with their boxing gloves. I'm like, oh my God, this is so hilarious. But she was doing it.
And you start getting this.
Me, 5 kids later, it's like you would think that my health and everything, you know, you gain weight. But I'm actually like, for the first time ever, my pre-pregnancy, all 5 of them weight. I'm got my abs back, my arms, you know, my back muscles, my chest muscles, like my legs, like And I feel like I'm working out more than I ever have, ever. But I also have the tools of, like, I'm doing ozone therapy. I'm doing, like, the occasional Myers cocktails, vitamins.
I love the Myers cocktails, too.
I love them. They keep me from being sick.
I've been doing it again, and I feel sorry to say that because I didn't meet you before, but I've been doing it like your friend says. I went to Colombia and did it there. I went to Panama and did it there. Yeah. Not because of the price. It's because of they offered it to me, and I said, oh, let's do it here.
Yeah.
I'm traveling, you know, it helps.
That's like most people. Yeah.
So, but they help a lot, too. Yeah. I really love them. If it was for me, I would do that once a week.
They're really good for once every 2 weeks. You could do it once every week, like if you're sick or diseased or something, but they last you 2 to 3 weeks. So I was doing during like sick season when all the kids are getting sick, and I'm like, I can't afford to get sick. I need to go to work and create. I was doing it every other week.
No, and also, you know, that people, I don't know if this has something to do with it, but I did one in Panama. It wasn't only Mayors. It was they had different vitamins. I can't say all the ingredients I'm not an expert, but really helped my leg too for a bit. I mean, it was short term, but all of a sudden I started walking a little faster. You know, maybe it's mental.
Vitamin C converts to hydroperoxide, and it helps with fungus, which is like a lot of the joint pain, arthritis. That's all fungus.
Yeah, that's what I have in there. Arthritis. See? Yeah. And
another cool thing is, like, say you're somewhere and you're having pain, arthritis pain, they can inject in sodium bicarb, and it just completely removes the arthritis as well out of a joint.
That's definitely what I need.
And you're forever going to be facing that around metal. Like, it just naturally occurs. So that's why a lot of people have arthritis around their replacements.
Dr. Hutchkins told me at the moment he did what he can do to fix my moment.
Yeah.
You know, he told me 5 years from now or six or maybe four, or maybe, you know, they can't say a date.
Right.
I'm going to start building up arthritis, and it's going to, bone starts going to rub against each other, and you're going to be in pain and inflammation again. You know, I mean, I always been in pain, inflammation. Yeah. Right now, I'm not in pain. You know, like, I know how to tolerate pain because I learned already. But you can feel between what is tolerating or what is just bothering a little bit. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And right now, the pain, sometimes it went completely away. I couldn't believe it. You know.
Wow.
I have some great days.
That's amazing.
It
sounds like I don't know maybe how to explain when you're on it a lot, it flares up.
When
you're using it a lot, like when you're walking a lot, maybe it flares up.
Yeah, you know what? Because I might have overdone it because I was at my all-time speed.
Yeah.
I mean, I abused it. I felt so good that I was abusing of my own self because I wanted to do it because I felt younger. I felt, Tuto is back.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I retired, but I wasn't running all over the place. You know, I was sitting on a chair, walking a little less. You know, now, I mean,
I love that Tuto is back because a lot of people, it's like Angela Magana and like a lot of these other people that we've treated from the UFC, like Nico Montano, too. She got an ACL tear, and 8 weeks later, she was, you know, kicking the bag hard.
For me, it was 5 years. I mean, now I was running, like I said, in the convention in Managua and the ESPN show that I had. I had a problem that it wasn't my problem, but I take all the problems as mine because I'm the ultimate.
I can't believe you're running.
I'm the ultimate responsible. So I had a problem with the signal, and I jumped the ringside fence, you know, like not jumped, but went over it.
Yeah.
And I started not running, but walking fast to the truck. And I said, what did I just do? And I got back from the truck.
Hopping fences.
And I got back from the truck, and I hopped the fence back into the technical zone, from ringside.
Wow.
And I was surprised. I said, what's going on? I mean, this is awesome. So I was my own self. So that is, it not only gives you your less pain, less inflammation, you're faster, and you're mentally better because you're happier.
And you have hardware in there.
Yeah.
So you can imagine when
the whole Home Depot in there, you know,
like,
this is an ad that hasn't been paid, but I have Home Depot in there. I tell people, hey, do you have screws? No, I don't have screws. I have Home Depot in there.
There's so much going on. Yeah. Wow, I'm so happy that you got the results. I just have one last question that I've been super curious about.
Oh boy, you got me nervous.
Excuse me. I'm so dry. No. I was, I was actually two. I had asked some followers like some questions that they wanted. And like one of the things was like, okay, you have 20 fighters underneath you. What is like some of the fighters or a fighter that you're like super excited about that you just see as like in the up and coming rise that you're like, wow?
Well, out of my own fighters?
Yeah.
Right now I have one of the best prospects that I have. It's Derrick Cuevas from Puerto Rico. He's a welterweight. I signed him up. He was retired with a good record. He retired he was off the ring for 2 years frustrated. With like 23-1-1 record, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he had discipline problems, you know, and I sat down with the kid. I advised him because I'm 55 now.
Well, hold on, time out real quick. Most do have problems.
Yeah. but he wasn't training right. That's why he lost. That's why he had the draw. Mm. And he has a free agent, so they came to me and I told him, listen, if you want to do this, it has to be this way, you have to train this way, you got to do this way. Mm-hmm. He was listening to me there, like I said, it was going through here and going out the other way. That's what I thought, because he's very quiet. He doesn't talk. He just it's like that. Mm-hmm. But Derek went to the gym. Derek found a physical trainer, and he's been 3-0 now, 3 fights. On ESPN with us, all 3 fights in Panama, and he won all 3. Right now, he's rated number 10 in the WBO, number 10 in the WBA, amongst the best welterweights in the world. He's fighting December now in Panama, and he's going to be fighting for the world title soon.
That's awesome.
I mean, I love all my fighters. I have a WBO world champion, Jonathan Bomba Gonzalez from Puerto Rico. I have WBO interim world champion René Santiago from Puerto Rico as well. I have a stable of 8 junior flyweights. That's the division that I worked a lot, the little guys.
Yeah.
Because they're little machines. How little
are punches,
they? 108 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And what age?
Those are the best fights.
Yeah.
Because they throw punches since Bell won.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and their endurance is like crazy.
Yes,
those fights.
Yes. I have like 8 world rank. I have 2 world champions and 8 ranked contenders in that division, which is very strong for the company. But I have Derek at welterweight. I have a couple of kids in Mexico, in Colombia. I just signed an Argentinian kid, a kid from Spain. I'm trying to go worldwide a little bit more.
Love it.
And I'm taking my business to Central America. Like I said, I did a show in Nicaragua, in Panama. We're going to El Salvador now. Miss Universe is coming. We're gonna grow in the Latin America because my dad was the ambassador for Latin American boxing. He was called the Bridge of the Americas. Back then, there were no social media.
Yeah.
There were no cell phones. So my father was like a point person for all Latin
That's
America
awesome.
In the U.S. And now even with social media, with cell phone, I'm gonna
work
to do that.
Yeah, you manage your own social media, right?
Yeah,
and you're on it.
Yeah, I manage my own. I shouldn't, but
you do a good job.
Yeah, like, I'm trying like getting it. Better, you know.
I like it, and the thing is,
it's raw. You know, it's
raw.
Everything has come from me.
Yeah.
Everything has come from me.
Everything does kind of seem like I know as far as my career goes, most people. They haven't really got to see my personality, or do they really know me? Because the cover of my book, it looks completely different than when you actually get to know me. And they're like, oh my God, she's such a raw, unedited, you know, unpolitical person. I always got to watch what I say. And I said, oh my God, I can't wait to have the podcast because I'm just going to run my mouth and say whatever the hell I want to say.
Like they say, you can't trust a book by its cover.
Yes. And then a lot of people don't know that I'm actually super tomboy. Like grew up with boys, you know, went to the military, was shooting guns, loved to work out. My friends, best friends are mainly men. I have like 2 childhood friends that are girls, but like hardly see them, just talk to them every now and then. But like, I'm always with my brother almost every day. And
that's beautiful.
I just love
families first.
I don't know. I think it's because how we were raised. It's like very football family. Very. It was all. I was the only female on my mom and stepdad's side family. Primarily, who I was growing up with. I was out of the whole family. There was no cousins, nothing. I was the only girl. So I was like wrestling all of them, growing up, fighting.
Hey, that helped you who you are today. Yeah. That helped you.
I was kickboxing. Do you remember the Shark Tank? I used to train with Shark Tank before I went to the Air Force. That's how I trained. And I was like, man, how's this going to go? I was so scared to go to boot camp. And I couldn't do one push-up. And then they
at least you could do one. Back then, I can't do none.
I got in trouble for laughing during inspection. And it was like they were cussing me out. And I was like, I grew up in the hood, so that was comedy to me. It was so hard for me to like stay with a straight face. And he's like talking shit about somebody's cunt smelling. And I'm like, I just wanted to laugh so hard. And so I kind of just went the whole, and he's like, oh, you think you're a fucking jokester? And I'm like, oh shit. So he told me every time I come up here to this bay, you just come up here and start pushing. I want you to do pushups until you can't do pushups anymore. So it was like every time he'd come in and out, and he's like, you're going to come back and do your pushups? I'm like, are you kidding me? So I was doing like 80 pushups straight because I was always in trouble. So they would put me next to the guys to be like, because the guys and the girls back then were training together. And so they would put me next to the guys. They'd go, okay, you're going to go push next to Apodaca. And I would be like, whatever. And then they would talk shit to the guys like, you're going to let her kick your ass. And I'm like, oh my God, they built me for this. They did this shit on purpose. But yeah, the whole military background, I love it. I love hanging around with my military people, brothers and sisters of all branches. And we've got to treat some really, really cool soldiers. And I'm excited to actually bring them on. That was like really the podcast. Like, yeah, we do stem cells. And yes, there's like cool conversations. But what I really wanted to show in the podcast is that a lot of my clients, well, not a lot of them, all of them have like really cool backstories. And there's like such funny stories of like their lives. That's really what I wanted to do. Is I just wanted to like, I talked to some of the coolest people, and it's like people have questions they want to know.
It's like boxing. Every boxer has a story behind it. Yeah. And we all have a story behind
it. I love boxer stories. The way they put them together, like, I don't know, something about that sport, it's like they really just throw their all into it.
Yeah, and their backgrounds sometimes are not the best, you know, and sometimes they're in survival, you know.
Most of the time, most of the fighters,
That's why they come into boxing.
Yeah. But boxers, I feel like, do a lot better than UFC fighters financially.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's not a secret that boxers do get paid more than UFC.
And then another thing that sucks is they took their sponsors away at the UFC and just like signed that contract with Reebok. But from what I heard in the grapevine is that Reebok is only signing like a couple thousand, paying a couple thousand per fight, and then took away all their other sponsors. So it was like the money that they could make off of a fight on top of their fight money was sponsor money. And they took that from them.
Still in boxing is the same.
It's crazy.
The boxers get a lot of help from the sponsors.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I know I get sponsor, like there's no regulations on like whoever wants to sponsor you.
No, there is. There is. There could be conflicts.
I see.
But in all contracts, you
I've never had a problem with sponsoring a fighter.
No, because your company, I mean, maybe cigarettes or alcohol.
I see.
Well, I mean, I guess you
can. Well, they
can
do alcohol, Bacardi,
they do tequila.
Right? Yeah. What are you talking about?
No. But maybe, I don't know, but maybe strip clubs. I don't know. But there's
got to be something.
It's not completely open. All the contracts have something that you have to get it approved by the promoter, because I can have a casino in Mancambas, and then you have another casino in your trunks, that's a conflict.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that I can understand.
Leeway, though, for the most part, as far as like people are able to make the money with the sponsors.
It's a huge help.
Yeah.
Huge help.
I like doing the sponsorships. That's why I sponsor so many fighters, because we help them out. Like they need this. They need the detox program. They need to be healthy. It's not just like work out, eat right. It's
they can get,
especially if they're drinking a lot and then there's all these stones in their liver. It's like, doesn't matter how much you work out and eat right. Like that's going to stay in there until you detox that out. or if there's parasites in you because you used to eat like a lot of seafood that's not cooked properly. Like those things are naturally not going to make their way out. And they could just show as like depression, right? Because like gut's thrown off. That's where your serotonin's made, all your happiness. And so now you have fighters that are like going through it and then they're coping. How are they coping? Usually not me. Most of them not the best way. It's like I get invited to the after parties and it's funniest thing because it's like we just went through camp. And I'm like, dude, you cannot eat sugar. And now you're taking shots. Oh my God. Here, take these shots. It's like, whoa, there's like a vape. I'm like, oh, that's not good for you. It's like, you know, I was like, oh man. But I guess that's like the leeway. It's like, that's the tradition. It's like after the fight is the after party.
Yep.
What club is it at?
Right away.
Yeah, right away. And I'm like, oh man, this isn't going to be good. Actually, for Jojo Diaz's after party thing that they had, we were like in the middle of Texas somewhere. Oh my God. And it was like, we went to the ghettoest club. And it was like, yeah. And his trainer at the time, Daryl, was like, yeah, I'm going to stay back. You know, you could see who part of the team was like, nah. But I was like, he's like, come on, you got to go. You're like, you know. He's like pointing at me ringside, like, come on, dude, you gotta go. So I'm like, I'll go take a shot with him, you know, definitely. We're good.
You were well protected. You
know? I was totally fine to be in the VIP area. They have like his pitcher going, the crowd's going, like, woo, whatever, you know. And then they bring out the hookah. And they're like, here, come on, you gotta try this. And I'm like, oh, it's hookah, you know, it's like faking maybe like a cigar or something. Okay, sure, I'll try it. I threw up. Oh my God. It was like, I took like three hits and I was like, why does my head feel so light? Like, what is this? This isn't weed. And it's like, I'm like, yeah. And at first I was telling my husband, like, no, I don't feel like going. And like, we'll stay for a little bit longer. He wanted to go, you could tell. And then I'm like, yeah, we need to go now. And he's like, wow, okay, sure. All of a sudden now we need to go. I like ran outside and I just was like, vomiting. Thank JoJo God came that, running that, out. Are you okay? And I'm like, dude, what the fuck was in that vape? Oh my God.
I wouldn't have left. If you were with me, I wouldn't have left. I'm different. I'm hard to get out.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I didn't want to leave.
I always say 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
5 minutes is 5 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way too. I love it. I love just not paying attention to time and just doing whatever. They get on me. Yeah, they'll get on my, like, come on, dude. They go like this. And I'm like, I'm on my lunch right now, man. What are you guys forcing me to do work right now? They're like, come on, you got to get on it. Yeah. Or like yesterday I showed, I went shopping for the podcast. We had got the table and he knew that I was at the store and he's probably like, oh shit, she's going to like start shopping for a bunch of unnecessary stuff. So he shows up and I swear I was like looking through the photo frames and I feel him and I'm like, why do I feel my brother? Why do I feel like, and I turn and I look and he comes around the corner. I'm like, why the fuck is this whole place? I felt you. Like, why did you have to come? He's like, oh, just seeing what you're doing. I'm like, no, you came to spy on me.
To protect you.
Yeah. He's like, sister. I'm like, no, you guys just give me a hard time. But no, it's all cool. Thank you for my gift, by the way. This is really cool. I love hats. Hats are my thing.
A little something for the World Boxing Organization convention.
Is really, really, really cool. Thank you for that.
You know, you get to wear hats. I've seen your social media.
I love hats, yeah. And I wear hats backwards. And I just like, it's like my go-to. Yeah, it's just throwing a hat backwards or on hat. Yeah, I think it's like, you know, you get used to throwing your hair in a bun and throwing it on a hat when you're military, and then after that you kind of just stick with it like the rest of your life,
like a baseball player.
Yeah, they always wear their hats, like it's my comfort zone. So the last thing that I think somebody asked me was Lisa Spear. She's actually she works with the San Francisco Giants, and she's introduced me to a lot of concierge patients and super well-connected private nurse. And so she's been using our stem cells for a while now. She's been, I want to say it's following like 2-3 years or something like that, that she's been following us. And whenever they have like concierge patients, there's stuff flying in, and they'll bring in our medical staff to the Ritz to go have them treated there and stuff like that. But she is like very medical, big supporter of stem cells. And she wants to know the medical side of like, how do we know that stem cells help boxers? Right. And it's like, from what I've seen physically, is that it goes past the brain barrier and it helps with the traumatic brain injury, TBIs. And you just see the frontal lobe under MRI shows that there's more blood flow, which that frontal lobe is also responsible for decision-making. So you start seeing emotion flooding in too. Like some of the fighters will call me and be like, why am I crying? Like, why am I so emotional? It's like, well, probably that part of your brain wasn't functioning correctly. And so that's one of the things, is there's emotion. There's also increase of serotonin, where they stop having dreams, like really bad, like PTSD type dreams that we've treated on some Army folks. They just completely stop having nightmares. So that was pretty cool. But that was one of her questions, like, how do you validate that it's actually working for them?
For me, in my case, I'm not a boxer, and it helped me all around. It wasn't only my leg. So I think it can benefit them in always.
Yeah.
Injuries.
We've done a lot of the guys next door. Actually, the owner next door, if you've seen him, this guy looks like, what's that guy from Moana? The big character, the big buff guy from the Disney. What's his name? Maui. So Maui, The Rock plays Maui. You know, yeah, how he has his hair like that and he's all like Hawaiian out. What was I getting into about?
About helping the fighters and...
Yeah,
and
but, how he, would help the but fighters. Specifically, we were talking about, so I know what I was saying, kind of going back to this, my ADHD kicking in. It's like a Lamborghini with no brakes. It just keeps going. Lisa Spear was asking about like, how do you know? And so we did a study with Nico Montano and Angela Magana from the UFC. She was the first indigenous native ultimate champion belt winner. And then Angela actually was trained when she was very little by her dad in New Mexico.
Nice.
So there's like a cool connection there. But they're really cool friends, followers. They come down and visit every now and then down here. Angela has actually stood at my house. And so we did a study with them, and it was that color-coded MRI that I was talking about. And it showed like, so the worst, how do I say this? The worst injury is a sexual trauma. That's the worst traumatic brain injury that comes up on a report. Isn't that crazy? It's like a blow to the head. Like the brain just doesn't want to remember, so it just starts to die off, that tissue. So when we do stem cells, it grows it back. And so it's crazy. So it actually surfaces those emotions. So people kind of have to deal with, you know, the shit that they've been carrying with them for all these years. I mean, we all have our own childhood and stuff like that, but some people just know how to leave it in the past, and some people carry it with them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to leave it in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will haunt back to you at one point.
So we got to see the results on their MRI, and it's pretty crazy what stem cells could do. Nobody's really detoxing out their liver. So we have the free liver detox ingredients that you could do it at home. So I usually give it to everybody. I highly recommend that you do it.
I was gonna ask you.
Hundreds of stones will come out, and it's like, you know, you feel like you have diarrhea. You're just going to the restroom, and then it clears out by the next morning.
That's awesome.
But you can say your liver is equivalent to like an AC filter of the body. So once it gets clogged up, that's when cancer and disease starts to grow, has to overcompensate. But like I tell like my nurses, like, hey, just do it. And then they do it and they're like, what in the hell? So that's like the liver's handling over 250 functions. You're talking about thyroid. That's why most people are gaining weight, is because
I have thyroid problems, yeah, too.
Have you ever had gallbladder issues?
No.
That's pretty good. Well, that's like the outpour of the liver. And so...
Never. My daughter... It happened to her when she was 15.
See,
you had to remove it.
It's all like
15 years
that's
old.
That's crazy. It's all diet. And so, and we see it too, like, and say they pull out the blood and it's like, you see everything coming out on there. Like young 16, 17 year olds, you're like, man, why is your blood look 15, like that?
My daughter 15, I mean, yeah, my little baby, but she's not little, she's my size, but she's my baby. She still is. She's 33 and still is. But
she's tall then.
Yes.
How tall is she?
More or less my size, maybe six foot.
Wow. Yeah, they asked me yesterday when they're doing the podcast setting. They're like, is he big? I'm like, he's tall. I'm like, he's pretty tall.
All the Zavala family, all of the males are my size. They say like that. That's a Zavala mold.
Oh, the Zavala mold.
There's
you guys are all built big.
My
like
dad
that.
Was like that. My uncles, I had four uncles. My cousins are all like that. My son is bigger than me.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think my 13-year-old is already like as tall as me. I'm like, oh my God, she's gonna be tall. My kids are already looking down on me and driving me around that and happened. Stuff. It's weird.
I had a big hit when my kid was growing up. You know, I was starting him looking down, starting looking up. All of a sudden, I gotta look up.
Wow.
But it's
it's beautiful seeing your kids. Yeah, grow old and then all your hard work, beautiful. Them kind of like picking up on it, the family traditions and all that. You're very blessed.
Very, and very, very.
When I see everything that you're doing, I think it's amazing because people like you deserve to be blessed, especially because you care for the youth and like what you're creating, taking care of your fighters. That's amazing.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, there's not all boxing organizations or I would say management companies are like for their fighters. They use and abuse them, and I've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, it happens a lot. But you know, these kids need help, you know, and now
you're a great supporter. Like I could see it.
Yeah, I grew up with my father's friends, so I wasn't hanging around with kids. Mm-hmm. I was hanging around with my father's friends. You know, my father should have been 85 now, 86. So I learned a lot from them, and they used to teach me a lot. So now all of them are gone. You know, so now I said, what happened? Now it's my turn to be the godfather. I'm saying the godfather in a good way. Yeah. In Padrino, we call it in Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, those kids need advice. You know, they're coming up. They don't know, and sometimes they don't listen. Like I told you about the Cuevas story, you know, I thought he wasn't listening, but he did.
Yeah.
But you don't lose anything about telling them, hey, this is what I think you can do. I do it daily with my son, and sometimes we have differences.
Yeah.
And I just tell him, real low, I said, this is what I think that you should do.
That's why I support these.
You do whatever you want.
Fighters.
At the end of the day, you take my advice or not, but I'm telling you, don't come back a week later with an LOL, because every time I'm right, he just comes back with an LOL.
that's a kid thing.
So laugh out loud. I don't want to see an LOL. No, you either use it or don't use it, but don't LOL, not LOL. You're wrong,
It's like when your kids start doing the shorthand and they put the SMH. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Smish. And it's like, oh, shaking my head. What do you mean?
I don't understand none of that. I think I texted you this morning. I put GM, good morning. Yeah. I learned that the other day. I said, GM? No, I'm not a GM no more.
That's so funny.
I'm a president.
That's funny. Yeah. It's a new era that we're going into. And you're doing a great job on the phone, staying connected with everybody, because that's obviously how everybody is now. Like, you got to post or nobody really knows about it. So thank you for coming on the podcast, Stem Cell Queen podcast, for all my little stem cell lovers. Everybody's so excited to like hear me finally talk, and I'm excited. So thank you for being my first official guest and bringing me my lovely hats, because this is special, because it's not like it was just bought off the internet. You know, this was handed to me by somebody special. So thank you.
I want to thank you too.
Yes.
Really happy to be here. And you have a big fan of the Stem Cell Queen.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate everything that you have done for me. And I don't have a way of having a gratitude with you.
Thank you. And if your fighters ever need anything, then let me know. And I will definitely give you our logo so that we can be a proud sponsor. Thank you so much. I would love to see it, our brand, in multiple different countries. So we haven't been in Japan, and we have not been in Brazil.
Oh, that's Japan. It's
Puerto Rico. We are heavy, but Japan is where I want to go. Actually, I want to go skiing this coming winter. It's like I told my daughter I'm taking her for her 13th birthday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much.